Is this Matthew's ankle injury? I mean, it's the same ankle as he had the issue at the start of training camp.
Yes, and it was the same one also in the Cleveland game that he got rolled up on first game of the season.
It's more than the guy rolling on it than it had anything to do with that was still left over lingering from the initial injury.
Yeah, and with that thing too being that ankle, it's kind of a funny thing, but I mean it's something that for him it never loosened up and kept getting stiff so again, just opted on the side of caution more than anything else.
Doug, moving forward, I mean, obviously you see what Barner and Smallwood can do. How's that rotation going to work once everyone's healthy?
I think we just continue the same way, really. When Ryan is healthy, he's the guy, and then Darren, we mix Darren in there, and you saw what Wendell can do, you saw with Kenyon, we know what he's all about, and everybody's a little different runner. Wendell did an excellent job between the tackles last night, sort of downhill, Kenyon off tackle, and then of course Darren can kind of do everything. So we'll still keep the rotation the same. We're not going to change much that way, and just want to get everybody in the football game.
22 carries. Would have been maybe it was a little too much for Ryan against the Browns with the ankle, would he be less likely to get that many?
No, I think that's a good number for him, honestly. And then if everybody else can get a few touches after that, I think you're on track. It's kind of like with Carson. I don't think you ever want to go into the game thinking you're going to have to throw 50 times. If you manage it and keep him around 30. And still have a successful running game, I think that's a good balance.
You don't see Smallwood much in camp or the preseason. What made you confident? You gave him carry in some action in the first game. What made you confident that he'd be able to handle that load and then subsequently what he did yesterday?
I just think he's another one. He's much like Carson in how he prepares during the week. And, we've been fortunate with our young players, even Jalen Mills. I mean, we've been fortunate with these guys and how they work and how they handle themselves on and off the football field. And he's done a great job in practice, and he's put himself in a position to help us. And it was great to see him. We saw it early in the spring. We saw it a little bit in training camp before the injury. And it's good to have that kind of depth at that position with as many touches collectively as a group they're going to get each game and the wear and tear on that position. It's great to get that many guys in the game.
So far this season, you've seemed to have fairly good physical control of football games after the half, that you guys are in decent shape and maybe impose your will a little bit. I mean, obviously yesterday the snowball was rolling downhill, and that happens sometimes, and Pittsburgh got behind it. But do you feel like from a conditioning standpoint the team is where you were hoping it was going to be coming out of training camp? And do you feel as well that you are able to have some physical control of games, especially the second half?
Yeah, that's part of the whole training camp philosophy for me is the being physical in camp, making camp as hard as I can, being hard on them and then backing down, taking the pads off and, then going hard again. I just think it builds a mindset that once you get into the regular season and then deeper you go that, they can lean on those experiences as players. And I just felt yesterday our guys just really took control offensively and defensively up front, our D-line and our offensive line, to be able to control the game that way. And, conditioning was good. I felt like our guys were in good shape in the fourth quarter, it all stems back to the way we practice in camp.
We talk so much about Carson's his smarts, but as far as his memory goes, I've heard maybe it's a photographic memory. How much does that help him in his preparation?
Well, it's good. It's good, and I mean, it's good from the standpoint of if it's a bad play, he forgets it. If it's a good play, he forgets it and he just kind of moves on. But at the same time, he can recall things fast and quickly, and things that we're seeing even during the course of the game that we can tweak on the sideline. You know, it's just he's a different player that way. You know, he's much like our last quarterback, Alex Smith. You know, in Kansas City, he's the same type of memory. And for a young kid to do that is pretty special.
Matthews was talking about how even sometimes when the guys are having breakfast, Carson's in there watching film. Would you say that he's obsessed with the film study part of it, and how much of that is attributable to his success so far?
It's accurate, very accurate. He loves watching tape. He's you know, like I've mentioned, he and the quarterbacks, Chase and Aaron, they're in here at 5:30 in the morning. I mean, you know, watching film, and they're exhausting the tape, and he's constantly. I hear him just even in the building talking to guys about plays and routes and protections, and you know, it's Peyton Manning-ish. I mean, you know, and you hate to label. I don't want to put labels on guys, but that's how Peyton prepared, you know, and that's how these top quarterbacks prepare each week. And he has that now, you know, as a young quarterback, and that'll just carry him throughout his career. The challenge now is the more success, how much gets pulled on him and taken away from him. But he's off to a good start, and it's definitely part of the process and his preparation.
You heard about his arm strength, all the other intangibles. What about some of the touch passes that he throws when guys are open in between zones? I think there's one specifically, the Brent Celek. Is that tough for you typically for rookies to kind of, you know, throw a changeup instead of a fastball in that situation?
It can be hard because you're so geared on throwing everything fast and hard and anticipation. And that throw to Celek was a thing of beauty the week before the Monday night. To Jordan Matthews, the little touch pass was great. The little floater to Darren for the long touchdown run was another one that was a touch pass with accuracy. And those are hard throws to make. Having been able to in that position before, those are hard because the guy is running away from you, and you're trying to put air on a throw, but still judge the distance and the speed of the receiver. And those are tough things to do. And He really has a good feel for that, and it just makes him, you know, just makes him an all around solid quarterback.
How have your first drives been so successful? What do you do? How do you go about setting up what you want to do on the first drive?
Without giving my secret away, the biggest thing for me is you know, obviously how does our opponent begin games, and really a couple of that you want to mix the run with the drop back. We threw a screen yesterday, somewhere in there you want to take a shot, and it's all based on tendency. It's all based on, you know, conversations during the week with the quarterbacks, what they like, what they don't like. And really, a lot of times it's just going off feel, you know, how I feel they're going to attack us. And listen, they're only first and second down thoughts. They're not anything other than that. And it's also a way to help your quarterback and I think your offense, because I'm playing the game during the week in my mind. So I'm scripting. I'm going, okay, here's first down, here's second down, then third down. Okay, here's first down again, second down. So I'm constantly scripting that in my head and kind of laying the openers out that way. And the execution has been great in this plays that we work on, obviously, during the week.
Does Carson actually have an eidetic or photographic memory? And if he does that help him during a game just because he can recall, bring back things that he's seen on film? And as a quarterback, if you had that ability, what would it do for you?
Yeah, I think he does have that type of memory, that type of recollection. He sees things, he remembers it. We can talk about it after a drive is over. We can obviously see it on the pictures, on the tablets, on the sideline, and then when he goes back out there, he can remember that defense. If he sees that front or that coverage, that look again, he knows exactly what's coming defensively, He can put us in the right play, and it's just for a young quarterback. After just a few weeks, to have that type of recollection is something special.
How does Carson deal with the expectations? Because obviously now they're going to change. With you guys beating the Steelers the way you did, you don't play for 2 weeks, everyone's going to be going crazy. How do you think he's going to deal with all that?
I think he's going to be fine. I think it's the number one challenge for all of us, and I speak for myself too when I say that. We've got to stay humble through this whole thing, and the season's very young, only 3 games in, a lot of football left, as you know, and we just take them one at a time, and that's just things that I've learned over my career as a player, as a coach at this level. 22 years in the National Football League, you've seen a lot of ball, and you've been on teams that have started fast, you've been on teams that started slow, and it's just how you stay the course, and you can't substitute, preparation, hard work for anything. And if we just stay the course and the guys prepare the way they've prepared each week, then we'll see what happens on Sundays. But so far it's been great, and be good to give them some time and get ready for the second half of our season.
Something you talk to Carson, is that something that you feel like you need to talk to Carson about, or is that something he gets already?
I think he gets it, personally, just being around him. But, yeah, we'll definitely have those conversations, not only this week, but, just as we go. And it's my job to shelter him from all the outside noise, from people pulling on his time. Because, the bottom line is we got to keep the main thing, and that's football. He's done a great job so far, and I expect the same going forward.
As a follow-up to the previous question, as you bring them in today, what's the message to them?
The message is just get away. Get away from football, kind of free your mind a little bit. It's been a long, hard training camp, number one, right into the regular season. They've had 3 physical football games already. Get healthy, rejuvenate, rest, and come back ready to go, because we got 13 straight weeks, and it's one at a time. But at the same time, they need to take time to be with their families. Coach is the same way. And make this push now, last part of but the next few weeks.
Carson, you mentioned yesterday about how Carson is kind of inspiring him. What type of effect Carson has had on you as a coaching staff?
Well, obviously just the way he plays. He's so aggressive on the field. His when I say aggressive, not necessarily from a physical standpoint, but just from a mental standpoint. And his personality, he's always constantly smiling, and it's infectious. And guys have gravitated to that. And I think there was probably maybe, 3 weeks ago when I named Carson the starter, there were obviously some eyebrows raised. But now, These guys have bought in. They've bought in. They've got the leader of the football team, and you see it yesterday. You watch the tape and you see it on film, these veteran players have really embraced it, and really they'll do anything they can now for a guy like that.
Doug, if I could just follow up on Jeff's question about the touch passes, how rare is it for a young kid 3 games in to have that ability to fire it when he needs to and just kind of load it when he needs to? We've seen veteran quarterbacks who can't do that.
Yeah, it is a challenging thing, because there's a lot of times in practice, if you're not working on those types of throws, it just doesn't happen. And again, it's sort of a math problem in your head as a quarterback, because you got a receiver that's running away from you full speed, and you're trying to put a touch pass on a 20-25 yard throw, and so you have to judge it just right. And that's a lot harder to do than just zipping it right at your target. So he's got great touch that way. He's got great accuracy on his deep throws. You saw the one, I wish we would have caught it to DGB, but he's got great accuracy on those throws, and he works on them every day in practice. So that's just who he is, and his ability to make really all the throws.
Malcolm Jenkins seemed to elevate his game in a pretty big spot there. Is that the way that you read it, and what do you attribute it to?
I did read it that way. He's such a great he's a good football player. He's a good leader, great leader of this team, and you know, I just told him before the game, I said, just do what you do and just be you and lead this team, you know. And he did that yesterday, and I can't say enough about how well the defense played as a group. And, you know, there was a lot of double coverage on Antonio Brown, and rightfully so. I mean, he's a great player, and I think we blitzed twice the entire game and got after Ben with just a four-man pressure, and that was something we had talked about in the spring, you know, the style of defense. And but he leads the charge back there. He and Rodney, great communication all day long, you know, it's good to have him. Good to have him back there.
To follow up on the defense, you know, you've given Schwartz autonomy over that unit, but as a head coach, how comforting is it that you really, at this point, you know you don't have to kind of, I don't know, how much do you spend with him prior to the game in terms of game planning? And, you know, if not, is that really kind of help you as a head coach, and that you don't have to worry about that as much as you do the offense?
I don't spend any time with him game planning. That's not my side of the ball. You know, that's not my expertise. But we do communicate. We communicate on the practice field during the week, you know, on certain things, whether it be personnel or packages that he's wanting to put in, how many reps we might be getting a guy or something like that. We're constantly talking that way. But, you know, it's a comforting thing for me knowing he's called a lot of games in the National Football League as a D coordinator. He's been in my position as a head football coach, and it's just kind of, you know, turn that side over to him and let him roll. And he's got those guys playing great right now.
A lot of players, I think, were kind of enjoying the fact that they were flying under the radar, kind of an underdog situation. Now that you guys might have more of an X on your back, what sort of change is that?
You know, we just have to approach it the same, one day at a time. You know, it's the way this business goes. I mean, you're on top of the world one minute, and you could be at the bottom of the heap the next. And you just got to keep things even keeled, and can't get too high, can't get too low, and approach it the same. Again, like I mentioned earlier, you can't substitute for hard work, and that pays off on Sunday. So, you know, we just have to stay the course, and again, long, a lot of football left.
You're looking ahead to how defensive coordinators are going to adjust to what you've had success with, whether it was the screen game yesterday or whatever for the first three games. How do you anticipate, or what do you think they are going to try to take away from you as you look ahead? And might that be a time where you might even go to Schwartz and say, hey, what do you think defensive coordinators are going to think about what we're doing, and what might I expect?
Yeah, part of this week as an offensive defensive staff, as we get to self-scout ourselves and just kind of see where we're at. I know it's only a few games in, but if there are any severe, you know, tendencies one way or the other, and just try to make adjustments as we go. I still, you know, listen, my philosophy, I learned this a long time ago with Mike Holmgren, is I'd be glad to give the defense my playbook, you know, and let them have it, because if I just coach the guys up on offense to do our jobs, you know, we have enough stuff in the offense to be successful, and defensively the same way. So, you know, we'll look at it. We'll take a look as we go, and but at the same time, you know, we're just going to keep doing what we do, and, you know, protect Carson, get the ball out of his hand fast, lean on that offensive line, put our skill positions in great positions to make plays, and use, you know, use our strengths, you know, as an advantage for us.
Frank hit on what you've been talking about, which he said afterwards, that sometimes it's harder to deal with success than it is failure. Over your experience, what happens? I mean, what have you seen where a team's riding high? What, you know, what can potentially derail them?
The biggest thing is complacency. You think you've arrived. You think you're all that. And that when that creeps in, that's when you get beat. And, you know, it's my job not to let that creep in. And I've got to keep the guys focused and grounded. And, you know, I told them this week they're gonna travel and go home, and people are going to pat them on the back and say how great they are. But next Monday, I'm going to tell them, you know, hey, we're back to work. We're 0-0. This is game one, and let's go. And, And that's just the way it has to be. And, you know, you're building for one ultimate goal, and that's a few weeks down the road. You know, that's what you're trying to get to. But you can't get there unless you take care of the next opponent. And it's my job to keep them focused that way.
Doug, we saw what you didn't know prior to January. What have you learned about him?
Yeah, just knowing him, kind of coaching against him like I have. I mean, he's always had aggressive defenses, and he's prided himself in getting, you know, pressure with four guys. And, you know, whether it was in Detroit or in Buffalo, as a coordinator, you know, great defenses that way. And he's always had, just from a numbers standpoint, he's always had top five defenses. Just to follow up on that, and then now having him here, gosh, you're seeing it firsthand, and you're seeing the aggressive style, the defensive line. We're rolling, you know, 7-8 guys in that D line to keep guys fresh, and that's part of his system. And, you know, guys are rallying in the back end and making plays in the back end, but they all feed off of that defensive line, and that's where it starts, and obviously that's the style he's brought.
Doug, we saw when you were mic'd up.
Played like 9 snaps. I mean, was that kind of a result of like the injury, the fact you were a nickel pretty much the entire game?
Just nickel. Yeah, it was just their offensive personnel basically just dictated that for us.
Okay. We saw when you were mic'd up in the first couple games, just the amount of input that you take from your players, even in game and stuff like that. How much do you value that and what they're seeing as well on the field? How much is it beneficial? And your openness to that, how much does it come back to you being a former player?
I tell you, I listen to the players all the time. And I got a chance to, you know, I listen, obviously, being mic'd up and talking to some players and just building those relationships and those bonds with those guys. But in the course of the week, practice and preparation, and then obviously in-game situations, I think as a head coach or as a coach in general, if you're not listening to your players because they're the ones that are playing the game, and it happened yesterday, we were able to make adjustments based on the information they were telling us. We see it from a different perspective, but they're playing the game, and then we're able to make adjustments based off of that information. So I think it's valuable. And for me, I just think it's important, you know, personally, to listen to the guys and take all the information in. Okay.
Thanks,
guys.
Thanks.